If you have your Bibles, you'll want to turn to John, the 15th chapter. John, the 15th chapter. And our focal passage today occurs during Jesus' final discourse with his disciples before going to the cross. In John, the 14th chapter, you may remember that chapter. It's the chapter we read many times at funerals. In my house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. It also goes on to comfort the disciples and tell them that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And finally, he says, but you will have a comforter that comes to be with you during this time. So he is giving them this kind of encouragement in John 14 to lead into this chapter in chapter 15. He's trying to prepare his disciples for what is to come in their lives without his physical presence. Another important piece of information about this passage is that it is just one of eight I am passages declaring who Jesus is and proclaiming his position and authority. In the Gospels, we see that Jesus refers to himself as I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And I am the door. And now we find in this chapter 15 where he comes to say, I am the vine. And this metaphor in John 15 is that of a vine and its branches. If you are able, would you please stand for the reading of God's word? John 15, 1 through 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You're already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. May God and his blessing to the reading of his word, and you may be seated. And I probably need to get a bigger letters on my page. Now, most of the time when this passage is studied or preached on, it is about a lesson about the vine and the vine dresser and the branches and just who all these branches are. But today I want to take a little bit different focus. I want us to focus on the word abiding. For you see, this word appears several times in this passage. It's not a common word that we use every day today, but this word abiding. Some people might ask, well, what does it actually mean? Well, Jesus defined abiding in Christ when he likened himself in John 15, 4 to a grapevine and believers to its branches. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. Now, this picture illustrates the vital union existing between Christians and Jesus Christ. There is no mistake about this. The word abide basically means to remain. Every Christian remains inseparably linked to Christ in all areas of life. We depend on him for the power to overcome the obstacles of faith and for the grace that he gives because he loves us. We look obediently to his word for instruction on how to live this life. We offer him our deepest adoration and praise as we submit ourselves to his authority over our lives. In short, Christians gratefully know Jesus Christ is the source and the sustainer of our lives. Abiding in Christ evidences genuine salvation. The Apostle John, alluded to that when he referred to those who went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out in order that it might be shown that they are not of us. We find that people with genuine faith will remain. They will not defect. They won't deny Christ or abandon his truth. And Jesus referred to this in John 8:31. He referred to the importance of abiding as a sign of real faith when he said, "If you abide in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine." With all this said, please remember this scripture also indicates that true vines are pruned and they're purged. This means that we sometimes get weak in our faith, that sometimes circumstances happen to us. Sometimes there's a valley in our lives where we're not producing much fruit, and our Heavenly Father purges or prunes us in order that we might be able to be more fruitful, that we might be able to bear forth much more fruit. So we are not burned, but we are pruned. And even so, we must continually abide in Him. And I want to give you a couple of thoughts or three thoughts about abiding in Christ for us to consider. First, abiding in Jesus means having a life-giving connection to Him. You see, a branch is connected to the vine and a vine to the branch. This is what theologians frequently refer to or describe as union with Christ. Notice in verse 4 that this connection, that this union is mutual. We abide in Him and He abides in us. And if there's no connection, there is no life. There is no fruit. We find a second thought about abiding. It says this: abiding implies dependence. The aspect of abiding, unlike the connection, is not reciprocal. The branch is dependent on the vine, but the vine is not dependent on the branch. For you see, the branch derives its life and power from the vine. And without the vine, the branch is useless. It's limited. It's lifeless. It's powerless. We also find that sap flows from the vine to the branch, supplying it with water and minerals and nutrients and the things that make it grow. And believers receive the sap of Christ's grace through our life-giving connection to Him. Where you see in verses 4 and 5, we see that we are completely dependent upon Jesus for everything that counts as spiritual fruit. And apart from Him, we can do nothing that counts for the kingdom of God. We find a third thought about abiding. We find that abiding involves continuance. In fact, abide in Greek is meno and means to remain or to stay or to continue. For example, we find in John 1, verses 38 and 39, it says, two of the disciples who first encountered Jesus asked Him, "Where are you staying?" They wanted to know where Jesus had His residence. The word staying there is the same word translated abide in John 15. For you see, abiding is to reside, to abide, to continue, to stay, to remain. This shows us that another thought about abiding in Jesus is truly remaining in Jesus, residing in Jesus. This simply means that we go on trusting, that we go on depending, that we never stop believing. And to abide in Jesus is to remain in Jesus and His teaching. We find that Jesus in John 8, 31, 32, He says this: "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." You see, the only way that anyone can produce good fruit is to abide in Christ. As we remain in Him daily, seeking His will and His way for our life every day, every moment, every hour. And this is very important, because if you look at John chapter 15 and you go down to verse 16, which we didn't read this morning, but it reads this: "If ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit shall remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it to you." And remember, the scripture says, if he abide in Christ, those who bear fruit will encounter seasons of purging, pruning, cleansing in their lives. There will be valley experiences. There will be things that seem to alienate us from the presence of God, There are things that may seem to rob our joy. There are circumstances in this life that are temporal that may seem to make us feel like we're far away from God. But if you abide in Him, and if you practice that act of abiding, that meno, that staying in Christ, in His Word, in His fellowship, that you have that connection, that you have that continuance, you will experience that God is with you no matter what you go through, and you will understand that this purging is so that you might be able to bear more fruit and greater fruit. For you see, Jesus said, every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. And these purgings can be painful. They can be uncomfortable. Yet pruning is a necessary part of growing in our relationship with the Lord. Some of you may be farmers. You may understand this idea about suckering. You know, I grew some tomato plants one year. It had great leaves. It was a beautiful plant. But there was no bloom. There was no fruit. There were so many flowers all over the thing, none of them could grow. It was pathetic. We were waiting for these luscious big red big boys. And what I got was a house plant that you could look at. Because I didn't prune it. I didn't understand about this pruning. Sometimes even you plant so close together, then you go through and take out the ones that are weak and that aren't healthy. We find that tobacco growers, they sucker tobacco so that it might grow and might be all that it's supposed to be. This idea of suckering is a term that God used to help us understand that we in our Christian experiences in life, there are times that we need to be suckered, that we need to have those things purged from us. There needs to be those experiences that help us have more faith and help us grow and help us see Him more clearly and understand His presence in our life more powerfully. This idea of about abiding in Christ, being in His presence, experiencing that fellowship, having that quiet resolve that when things are spinning around in our lives and we feel like we don't know where God is, it's this abiding that will give us the confidence that we know that no matter what happens, we are His. We are His children, and that He loves us. He has provided for us. He has blessed us. So this idea of suckering, this idea of pruning, is one that will help us to grow in Him if we continue abiding in Him. You see, there are people that think they abide in Christ. There are those that come to church and they think they're abiding in Christ by coming here and filling a pew every Sunday. There are those who think they're abiding in Christ when they have these little devotional books and they read a scripture before they get up and run out the door. There are those who feel like that they're abiding in Christ when they come for cantatas and for programs and they help out once in a while. But if I've seen anything in the New Testament, and if I've understood the church in the New Testament, if I've understood the expansion of the church, the growth of the church, and the things that God did in the first century, my friends, I will tell you, they understood that abiding in Christ is more than just occasionally giving a nod toward God. And abiding in Christ is more than believing in Him. A lot of people believe in Jesus that don't abide in Him. The devil believes in Him, but the devil doesn't abide in Him. So if you see this picture clearly, here is Jesus with His disciples toward the end of His life, the cross before Him, these confused disciples that didn't know what was going on. One had just betrayed and left and gone out to carry out the rest of the plot against Jesus. And here's the Messiah in their midst who tells them, I'm going to go, but I prepare a place for you. I want to tell you before I leave, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. I want to tell you when I go, there's going to be the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit, that will come with you. And remember this, abide in me. If you will abide in me, make your home your residence, if you'll live in me and for me, I promise you that you will bear fruit. And I promise you that when you ask something in my Father's name, that you will receive it. I promise you that if you will abide in me, you'll do even greater works than I have done. For this idea of abiding is worship, it's communion, it's connectedness, it's living in Him. I want to tell you a story about a lady who learned about abiding in Christ in a very unusual way. She was not necessarily a believer, but there came a point in her life where Christ was made present to her. Her name was Sheila Cassidy, and she wrote a book called Audacity to Believe. She tells of being arrested in Chile on trumped-up charges after treating a revolutionary. She was arrested and held without trial. She was held in a detention camp. And finally, she was found guilty of a minor infraction, but she was still held against her will. Sheila was given a copy of the New Testament by a doctor. And leafing through it, she came to the passage in Romans 8 where Paul asked, "Who will separate us from the love of God? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor heights nor depths nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord." This passage spoke to her. And as a result, she wrote, "Incredible. In the midst of my fear and loneliness, I was filled with joy. For I knew without a vestige of doubt that God was with me and that nothing they could do would change that." You see, abiding in Christ will radically change you. Change who you are and what you wish for. Abiding in Christ will radically change your desires, your focus. It'll radically change your outlook on the things that come to us in life that are unpleasant, that are temporal. Abiding in Christ will give us the strength and the power and the hope of the resurrection that we can keep on going and hoping and living in the power of Christ. Our faith is based on the depth of His love and the promise of His presence and the knowledge that we are never alone. So abiding in Christ is knowing that I'm connected to Christ, that I'm related to Christ, that I'm abiding, I'm living in Christ. And I just want to ask you this morning, are you abiding in Christ? Are you really abiding in Christ? Because if you abide in Christ, you will bear much fruit. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim. And the light of His glory and grace will shine in your eyes. Even when you think darkness is surrounding you, even when you think trouble is following you, even when you feel alone and detached, even though everything may not be going exactly like you want in your life, I'm here to tell you that we can stand on the Word of God. And He says, abide. Abide. So this morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you've never really trusted Him, maybe if you've been this person that's filled a pew or come once in a while, or not, maybe God is knocking on the door of your heart this morning and saying, I want you to abide. I want you to understand what living in me is about. I want you to know what residing in me is about. I want you to know me so that you might bear fruit. Maybe you're this morning and you say, Pastor, I'm abiding in Him, but I feel like I'm being pruned. I feel like I'm being purged or things going on. This morning, if you want to abide in Him, if you feel like you're being purged, I would invite you, when I sing our hymn invitation, that you just come forward. We'll pray together. And we'll ask God to give you the power, the strength, the joy that you can know even when things around you may not be going like they should. You'll feel His still, small voice speaking to you. Peace. Peace. And you'll feel the fruit start popping out in your life. Start seeing the evidence of fruit in your life. But you have to take the first step. You have to ask Him to come into your life and take control. You have to ask Him, Lord, are you purging me? Help me to see your hand in this. Help me to feel your presence. Help me to experience your power. And He will. Maybe you're today and you're not a member of a local church. Maybe you've never been baptized. Maybe you've never joined a church. I would invite you this morning, we sing our hymn of invitation, that you come and take me by the hand and say, I want to join this church. I want to become a kingdom builder. I want to start learning how to abide in Christ. And this family of believers will do our very best to love you and to bring you in and to demonstrate that in our lives so that you might know. So you come as we sing our hymn of invitation this morning, number 415. You stand as we come, please.